Certainly didn't see this happening.
No.
I know that when we were talking about this game in the lead up, I was telling people that Canada was, you know, they were going to be all over the Eagles.
Mm.
And as it turns out, the Americans were just far too strong. I mean,
comprehensively outplayed them.
It was a good game from, like, in terms of like a rugby, you know, purist form. But like, I think the scoreline, once again, is not indicative of what the game was. I mean, it was a pretty tight contest until... obviously, you know, the latter end of the second half where obviously the Canadians got a bit tired and they let in some of the, you know, American Eagles wingers and fullbacks who are, you know, essentially players with one or two gears and that's fast and even faster. And they get the ball and they just run, you know.
Not, yeah, you get them a bit of speed.
Not very good
outside,
at tackling. No. I reckon that Harry Kuehl could break one of their tackles, but, you know, that's just me. But look.
Mark Viduka certainly could. He could
Mark
run through
Viduka
the whole
certainly
team.
Could. Mark Schwarzer, I think, would, you know, rupture their spleens in defense.
He would be pretty handy. Imagine Mark Schwarzer on the wing, just a kick over to the wing for big Mark Schwarzer to just pluck out of the sky and go down.
Mate,
would be a real threat.
I reckon there'd only be one person he would be able to tackle in attack, and that's Benji Marshall. But that was in his Auckland Blues days.
Yeah.
Now he's gotten a bit better with age. Yeah. But look, that wasn't the game of the round for me. Game of the round for me was obviously the game that I watched and I got stuck in to really enjoyed this game. It was the Los Pumas versus the All Noirs, the ABs, the All Blacks.
Yeah.
What a game that was.
Sensational. Just incredible attacking footy from the All Blacks, as we love to see, just pounding relentless Argentinians into the ground for 80 minutes and getting them, I think, 39-0 in the end.
39-0, which isn't that bad. So that means that Argentina is half as bad as Tonga.
Yeah.
Thereabouts.
Yeah, yeah. And those guys are actually professional players as
but
well.
They
like
are.
They play full time.
No
policemen in
No, it's not like watching a humble police constable be picked up and spear tackled into a cricket pitch by someone who's commanding a seven-figure rugby salary somewhere in Europe. I mean, it was a game not without its challenges. I mean, I thought the refereeing in this game was just stellar. I mean,
always good.
Probably
you know?
Not. There wasn't that much to really referee. I mean, it's basically people catching and passing balls, kicking.
Yep.
It looked more or less like an All Blacks team run.
Yeah, it was a training run for sure. It was like AFL games on the weekend where they were just absolute pumpings.
It just goes to show that playing the Wallabies, you know, such a powerhouse now of Southern Hemisphere rugby, you know, obviously beating the world champions, which we'll touch on briefly later.
Yes, yeah, that was.
But but look, I think the All Blacks, the fact that they couldn't beat the Pumas.
Mm.
By more than 40 points means that Kiwi rugby is
it is worrying,
it is,
worrying.
It is on the decline so much so that I reckon the only thing that I've seen crash harder than this was the Argentinian stock market a couple of years back. You know,
yeah, the big like, beef crash,
mate,
the very opposite of a bull run.
Do you remember that day when you know they were just how casual the news presenters were here? I mean, you've got your Ross Greenwoods and stuff like that. You know, coming onto your television at 6 o'clock at night and being like, you know, oh, you know, the ASX was up, you know, 0.2%. Fucking the Commonwealth Bank's doing fucking $7 billion worth of profit. Yada yada yada. Oh, and the Argentinian stock exchange lost half its value today.
Yeah, look,
half.
That's
I mean,
quite
and
a bit.
It was like
it's a lot of cattle,
mate. Their economy is like beef. And rubber bands and antiques. There's not much there.
Yeah, and...
And they had, like, one or two really nice warships. And the fucking Poms, they sunk one in the fucking Falklands War. I mean, that boat that they sunk, the RMS Belgrano, that boat that they sank started life as an American frigate, I think it was. That boat survived Pearl Harbor, and it is the only boat that's been sunk in war by a nuclear submarine.
There you go. A bit of history for you. And it was about as grim for Los Pumas, I think, on Sunday.
There was a lot to take out of this game. I think that the Pumas are going to have to regroup fucking quickly because they're lining up against the All Blacks. This is what COVID does to world rugby. It just forces these rinse and repeat drummings of, you know. Mm. Have you ever been to Argentina?
No, I haven't. Mate, I would love to go, though.
It's like one big Palmerston North.
What? Really?
Yeah. There are some nice parts, and then there are some other nice parts. It's got nice air.
Bit of coastal stuff going on.
Yeah, but look, it's a lovely place. The people make it, but at the end of the day, mate, it's one big Palmerston North. And I just think these teams coming over, they're doing us a big favour by coming over. Otherwise, you know, we would be playing teams that are made up of, you know, as we touched on earlier, you know, like your junior constables. Yeah. Banana farmers.
Yeah, the Cook Islands would be going toe-to-toe with them in some tussles. Or we would have had to go over there to South Africa and spend a few months over there.
Which is fine. I think it was great that the Argentinians can come here. I do think it is fucked that teams have to play the All Blacks.
Yes.
I think that the All Blacks, this is just more evidence to me that the All Blacks should just not participate in world rugby anymore because they're terrible for the game.
Yep, I agree. I think maybe World Cups. We have them for World Cups. And then aside from that, we just don't play them. They just play North versus South Island. That's what they do. I mean, they haven't won a World Cup for a few years.
All the Kiwis do, I mean, they just come onto the world stage no matter what they're doing and they just sook.
Mm. They're not letting our submarines in now.
What are they going to do? It's we've got Keith here from New Plymouth who's going to make sure if there's any Aussie subs turn up here, he's going to shoot one of them.
He's a mean shot too, is Keith. He won't miss. I think they've allowed like 10 to 15 seals and whales as collateral damage for that one there. But I think a world rugby without New Zealand would probably be a bit fairer and it'd be better. But back to what you were saying about the Argies coming over here and playing. It is nice. The Ledesma, the coach, he came out and said that they'd only had like 3 or 4 sessions before playing the All Blacks properly together. Like because of all the quarantining requirements, they didn't get to have a lot of sessions together. But he said he's not about to come out and post an hour-long rant video about the trials and tribulations and the refereeing decisions that they've face, which was a nice shot at Razzie Erasmus. That was good. But yeah, hopefully they can get a few more sessions up this week and maybe they can score a point.
Yeah, look, just on Razzie, that was in poor taste. I mean, I know that, you know, it's inherent within most people from South Africa.
Yes.
When they feel like they've been, you know, crossed or mistreated, they do not forgive.
No.
I think that Razzie is going to take this to the grave.
Yeah, they're not filled with humour and not good at letting things go.
There's not too many. I mean, like, the only South African comedian I know that's hosted Saturday Night Live is Elon Musk.
Yeah, look, Razzie, if you want to upload hour-long rants about refereeing decisions and all that sort of stuff,
just start a podcast, mate. Just add some music to it.
Come up to the Channel Country and start a podcast, and you know, then it's all fine. But
I'm telling them, no. There's new rules now. I'm telling you, we got no time to. It's like, Razzie, mate, I get it.
Yeah,
but look, I think we should probably move on to the other game. Happened a bit, bit later on when the sun went down.
Mm-hmm. Glorious, glorious game.
An absolute humdinger. It's a game that I think will go down for a long time as being one of the best games.
Yeah, I fully agree. And I think you segued into this game nicely with Razzie because just quickly throughout the whole game, every single time the Saffers were pinged for something and given a penalty against them, they all looked like Razzie. They all looked at the ref like, what are you doing? Are you serious? That can't be. Like, their scrum would collapse and then they'd look at the ref like, what? You can't give a penalty against us. What are you doing, referee? So I thought that was interesting. But yeah, it certainly was. It's probably my favourite game of footy for the last, since maybe knocking England out of their pool at home.
But like, in true rugby union style, if that was a game that we lost, if God forbid Quaid missed that kick, you know, people would be saying, oh, it's a terrible game.
Yeah.
I hated it, you know, but seeing a game of rugby union is the sum of all of its parts. Mm. It isn't like a game of rugby league, which is, you know, a game of 1,000 tiny parts that paint a gloriously large picture. I think especially when the Wallabies play a team that, you know, they're evenly matched with when they're at home, when they're not, you know, yelled at by, you know, 60,000 toothless Kiwis. I think the Wallabies really truly lift when they're at home and they're playing games like this. But in a game of rugby union, what I'm trying to say is that it's one long brush stroke instead of little tiny ones.
Yeah. Instead of tackle, 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 kick, tackle, 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 kick.
Where this game was essentially kick, run, catch, kick.
Yep.
Run, catch, tackle, kitch.
Yep, penalty shot.
Kick.
Kick.
Tackle,
penalty
kitch,
shot.
Run.
Penalty shot.
Kick.
Penalty shot.
Kick, run, tackle.
Penalty shot.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, it's a very South African way of playing football.
And
there's a reason why they're on the same time zone as Europe, because they play the same style of rugby.
Yes, yeah,
There is nothing more boring than watching the Poms and the South Africans play, especially if you've paid good money and you're in England and you're watching them play. You're out at fucking Twickenham and you're just seeing Percy Montgomery and some other fucking dude in a white jersey kicking the ball to each other while the forwards just have their hands on their heads sucking in the big ones.
Yeah, it's not the type of footy you want to wake up in the middle of the night watch.
It's not Southern Hemisphere football.
No, and that's why this, I think, felt like a win for the good guys.
Oh,
you know,
mate,
it felt like a win for teams that want to play some good,
in
entertaining
the Cadbury spread.
Yeah. Break out the chocolates, boys.
Is it? No,
we beat the French, but this is like first Southern Hemisphere
win. It doesn't really
win.
Count unless we beat the Springboks
or the All Blacks.
I mean, victory, unless it's the Poms, but like when you're beating a French B team that's coming out here,
It's
kind of like winning some trial games.
Yeah, it is. And that's always good. And there's like positive signs there. But yeah,
you're not
going berserk about it, even though, I mean, we were going berserk about it. But anyway, yeah, I think it's time to bust out the family blocks at Cadbury, because it was a great win. And it was, as I was saying, it was a win for the good guys. We were running the ball. South Africa were just putting bombs up. We were catching them and attacking. We were taking our chances. And I know we only scored one try, but we played a decent level of footy and we tried to play footy. And we didn't revert to their tactics of just every single time they get the ball and attack, they just put a bomb up and hope one of their wingers comes through. Because we got good wingers and we take the ball and we can attack well. So I thought it was good to see the South Africans lose a game and hopefully realize that they actually might need to play some footy at some point. Like, it works against the Lions, who play the same style, where it's just bomb after bomb after bomb. You know what I mean? You feel like you're in London in the 40s. But they've learned now that when they play the Wallabies and the All Blacks, they are going to have to play a bit of footy. And let's hope that we see it again this Saturday night.
Well, look, I think it was a victory that's only really down to one person. I mean, he did kick the winning points, but he also kicked us into the game.
Yeah.
I mean,
hail King Quaid.
The only other person to fucking score any points was
AK-47.
Yeah, he's a redhead.
Yeah, fire.
Like, as the boys from Hello Sports say, people with red hair, you know, they have, you know, kind of like the bone density and the muscle density of a chimpanzee. You know, they're just absolute balls of humans, and they also have a shocking temperament, which helps them in contact sport.
Yeah, an angry,
but
fiery
temperament. This whole game came down to Quade Cooper and his reintroduction into the gold spread. But people have been so hard on Quade, and you know, like even when he was named in the training squad, you have all these fucking smooth brain, dyed-in-the-wool rugby people coming on and saying, oh, he's had his time. They're the same fucking people who were just going, James O'Connor, he's fucked, you know. He's had his time, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then he comes on, has an absolute ripper of a Super Rugby season, comes in, was playing out of his skin in the gold spread, fucked his knee, and then, you know, the whole time Quade's just been waiting there. I mean, what would have happened if we picked Quade straight off the bat?
Yeah, I wonder. Because as you said to me at the time, he's a man. And that's what
he was
doing.
He's a grown man.
He was a grown man at 10, and he was steering the ship around.
In a team full of boys, he was a man.
Yeah, really. And we looked like we had a plan, and we were confident, and we were working to it.
The boys had someone to look to. I mean, you know, sure, everyone looks to Hoops, but Hoops is forward. He's off earning ball.
Yeah, he doesn't have time to look after the kids, and that's what
Quade's
doing.
While the fucking kids
are
off fart-assing around in the back line doing fucking...
kicking balls through windows, breaking shit inside the house, eating whatever they want.
They were unsupervised.
Yeah.
Where, you know, Hoops cannot be up the front getting ball for the family
when
there's no one at home looking after the house.
Yeah.
and they put Quade in the house. Quade's come out. You know, he's been overseas. He's come back. He's in the home. He's got Hoops out the front, earning ball, stealing ball, finding ball in odd places.
Yep. And just making sure ball's coming in.
Yeah. And then Hoops takes that ball.
Yep.
He brings it into the fucking house, and Coops scores points with it.
Yeah.
It's such a revolutionary way to play a game of fucking rugby.
Having someone who can kick the ball through the sticks, incredible. Eight from eight.
Consistently.
Yeah.
Someone who can kick. I mean, it's a new concept, but like...
And it's just, it doesn't happen to us. You know, kick to win from an easier position doesn't happen to us.
I mean, but like...
He hit it from 45, close to the sideline, to win the game. It was a fucking incredible
He's
kick.
Done it before, and he'll do it again.
Yeah.
You know, his career is only just getting started.
Oh, I hope so. Look, this is the second coming of Quade.
You have to feel, for Noah though, I mean, like, what Quade has proven is that, especially in his post-match interviews, is it is such a mental thing to be the leader of the house.
Yeah.
Like...
Oh, and that's the thing for Noah. I think, like, Noah, he's only 22.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like, there's no pressure on Noah. Quade,
I mean,
Quade
that's what they were saying about James O'Connor. You know, he comes into the team when he's fucking 17 years old.
Yeah.
Was in there for a couple of years. And it's just, it's too fucking early.
It's too soon. And it's just part of the learning experience.
You can't pay these kids enough to stick with rugby union unless you're throwing them in the Wallabies.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Just a Waratahs jerseys.
You
can't
keep the talent there unless you fucking pay it.
Yeah, you have to give him something a little bit more, and that's what they give these guys, and that's fair enough. And he'll learn from it.
And they're just not ready yet. I mean, well, you go and look at other teams. Like, I think when the Poms won the World Cup last, the average age of their forward pack was 38.
Mm.
38, that's how old Benji is now. They're old men. They, you know, like, they played in the Defence Force teams.
Grown
together,
men.
They're just fucking, you know, it's like when you cut down a big tree and it's full of those big, thick rings, you know.
Yeah.
You can't have a forest of new growth on a rugby field. You do need some majestic old pines there.
The rings of experience.
To be as, you know, some sort of cosmic anchor for the team.
That have seen summers, winters, days, nights.
But look, I think it's going to be interesting to see what Quade does this week because it's essentially a carbon copy, a rinse and repeat.
Yeah.
Playing up the road at Suncorp Stadium.
Eight from eight.
Eight from eight, yeah.
That's our recent record at Suncorp. It's our Eden Park.
Well, you know, at least we're not playing at the Gabba. You know, that was our test cricket team's fortress. And
yes.
Then,
and then look what happened last year.
Last summer, in case you,
last
you
summer,
know,
sorry.
In case you're not a cricket fan, the Indian team batted out the last day and basically made our bowlers look like, you know, kids.
One of the more frustrating things you've ever had to see.
Oh, mate. It was both great for the game and very bad if you're trying to get someone into the game. I mean, like, I remember last summer we had, or the one before that, I can't remember. This fucking COVID's fucked my brain, I'll tell you what.
It's all a bit the same, isn't it? It rolls in on itself.
But I had a mate who was like over here from Canada, and I was like, mate, I've got to get you into cricket. And we watched that last day, and he was like, what the fuck is this game? And I was like, no, this is just a very poor example of it.
It's better, I swear. Other games, you just have to wait till next summer. On the mental thing, I just want to say really enjoyed the interviews between Sonny and Quade after the game. Pretty wild how he was just like...
They're on the same wavelength.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as Quade was saying, they lived together for a couple of months, trained together, spent pretty much every waking minute together. Yeah. Great to see that connection as well. And crazy, like... After he won that game, how he just kind of, he just stood there. Like, he just knew the moment. And then when he spoke afterwards as well to Sonny and the guys there, that he was just talking about the moment and being bigger than football and all that sort of stuff. It was real maturity stuff. We've got enlightened tens now, Jock and Quade, both of them really, you know, started off as young hotshots and, you know, whatever people say about their younger years. But they're enlightened men now, and they're the men to take us, I think, to eternal glory at the next World Cup, those two.
Well, it's only two short years away, and the tickets go on sale for the Rugby World Cup family on the 23rd of September. So make sure if you want to go over to France and watch us hoist Bill again, you need to get on it, because Lord knows the fucking Europeans, they get in on it early.
Oh yeah, the rich Poms as well. The, they live, the they fucking live Poms. For
this
shit.
Yeah, all those London people. Yeah. Like, but like, it's the Poms. But because it's home in France, you know, they fucking love their rugby in France.
Yeah, yeah. National sport.
And it's, you know, it's so close. Yeah. To, you know, like in Spain they play it. Italy, they all, you know, these beautiful countries that love. Yeah. I mean, it is a real carnival like atmosphere going to rugby games in Europe. It's a very different experience, you know, coming here. Especially when they used to play out at ANZ in Sydney.
Absolute carnival.
My favourite stadium out there.
Like Carnivale, you could say, the games that they have out there.
It's like being out in Rio on a hot summer's night, or in, you know being in Venezia when the fucking Biennale is on. It's just the same, you know, it's rich and vibrant. You know, strolling down the avenues of Sydney, Olympic Park, you know, as the hot desert winds slap me in the face.
Looking at the ibises and seagulls flutter around, picking up the loose scraps from McDonald's there that have blown across that kind of
that place,
that weird cobble.
That place is
synthetic
Sydney
cobblestones.
In a nutshell.
Yeah, it is. Just on Quaid, looks like he's going to get his citizenship.
Fucking
which
oath.
Is thankful.
I mean, but isn't that just like an absolute indictment on this government? I
doesn't
mean,
it
that
say
fucking,
all?
I mean, that piece of poached chicken in a suit, fucking Alex Hawke, the immigration fucking minister. I mean, he's like, he goes, Quaid could be a citizen by the end of the week. It's like, what's been fucking holding it up, Alex?
Oh, exactly.
I mean, what if he missed?
And yeah, exactly. What if he missed? Now, we can't change the rules unless we can change them. The only time you can change them is when it's politically opportune. So when you, you know, when you've got your 10 for the Wallabies hitting goals from 45 metres out, then you can change the rules.
I mean, they just do what's popular. I mean, this government, you know, for the most part, is pretty on the fucking nose with people under 50. And they're just looking to make up lost ground.
Yeah.
And they're just saying, what's popular with people?
Yeah.
And they're just like, make Quaid an Australian citizen and people will forget what you've done last week.
Yeah, okay, we'll just bend the rules for this. I mean, he should have been an Australian citizen a long time ago. But yeah, it's interesting how they can bend the rules for Quaid when he kicks a penalty goal. And then you look at, you know, the Billawilla Tamil family, hands are tied, can't do anything, even though they have discretion, can't do anything.
It's like, our hands are tied, we can't do anything. It's like, if they kicked a fucking goal, they'd be fucking back in billow.
Nadies needs to be working on his torpedoes.
Wait, mate, this is a rugby union podcast, though.
We'll bring it back. We do play.
We'll be losing a lot of fucking lot of listeners if we keep on down this little track, isn't it? Yeah, this is an
wormhole.
This is an apolitical podcast,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, yeah. So anyway, look, Quaid Cooper, good to get his citizenship. We're all about that. We do play them again this weekend, the Springboks. We're still $4 odds against them, which I think is pretty surprising. I think we were good. We were
You know what they say, lightning doesn't strike twice.
Well, you know, let's hope it does, because Suncorp, this is a different beast.
Putting my Wallabies fan hat back on for a minute. No, I think, you know, that's easy money.
Bank it.
$4.
I wonder if Mark Keohane, the South African writer, will be chirping up with any columns this week. I don't know if you saw it, went around on social media. He had some interesting comments. He came out last, I think it was Thursday or Friday, and he said, these Wallabies are wimps. Sia Khaleesi's world champion Springboks will wallop them. It will be champ against chump, and the scoreboard will reflect this. Very weird. Like, it shows that there's not a lot of humour in, you know, some columnists over there in South Africa, because that's like a strange, really strange sledge. But anyway, it obviously backfired pretty hard. Wallabies are wimps. Like,
yeah, I know. I think you'd probably do less damage to your brain if you went to the supermarket and took a pot of brake fluid off the shelf and you drank it. You'd probably do less damage to yourself than if you did by reading that article. So look, I mean, one thing about journalism is when you consume as much news as what you and I do, is that when you see people who are writing these things, when they make these headlines, like, they don't believe what they're writing.
No.
This whole ecosystem of journalism is governed by web traffic clicks. It's just people who write these things just do it for the angry reactions. They do it for some red-faced goon at Scone who's fucking angry about, just writing terrible things about my team. That's who they're writing it for. So the best
chasing clicks.
Best practice is, you know, 99% of rugby journalism. Just don't read it.
Just let it go through the keeper.
It's all gibberish.
Yeah.
I mean, look,
yeah, it's helpful advice, I think, that is.
Unless it's the good people at ESPN Scrum. I mean, they are the absolute premier rugby union coverage in the country.
Some quick hits to round out the week, Errol. Yeah, we play the Springboks, A from Eight at Suncorp Stadium, our fortress, so we'll get the job done there. Taniela starting, which I think a lot of people are happy about. The big powerhouse coming on nice and early. Argentina are going to play New Zealand again.
Again.
That's the 8 o'clock primetime game, which is... I mean, it depends how you look at it. You've got an NRL final at 8 o'clock on Saturday, so it's probably good having the Wallabies and Springboks at 5.
Yeah.
And, you know, the people in at Suncorp will be pissed enough that by 7:30 after a Wallabies win, they'll be pissed enough that they're happy to stay there and just watch Argentina concede 50, 60 kind of points, you know
and
what I mean?
And it puts it on at 10 o'clock at night in New Zealand.
Yes, exactly.
Just another nice little fuck you.
Yeah, yeah. It's normally candles on by then, lights are out. Yep. So,
But it is the previous afternoon in Argentina.
Yes, so keeping good the audiences them. In places like Salta and Buenos Aires happy, so that's good.
We do this rinse and repeat type of draw with us three playing a little tri-nation rugby championship. Yeah. And then the end of next month, we've got the Americans are playing the All Blacks.
Yes, and your Canadian Maple Leaf boys are playing Los Condores, the Chilean team, who apparently going places. They beat the Argentinian second 15 on the weekend, so that'll be a titanic battle between the Canadians and the Chileans for the World Cup spot there.
Here's another little bit of trivia to go with the thing I just told you about, you know, the nuclear sub and all that shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Is Matt Dunning of kicking a field goal when he shouldn't have fame. born in Calgary.
Really?
Matt Dunning's younger brother played like fuckloads of tests for Canada.
Yeah, right.
So there you go.
That is interesting. What was his name?
Matt Dunning's brother.
Matt Dunning's brother, yeah.
Look, I'm going to...
Phil or Steve or something.
All right, I'm going to guess it's Mark.
Mark. I'm going to say Steve. He probably played, yeah, it was probably just like one of the...
Casey Dunning.
Sounds like he should be like a motocross rider or a surfer rather than a...
So Matt Dunning was born in Calgary but grew up in Sydney. Yeah, there you go. Fuck, look, I haven't seen that bloke's mug for ages.
Oh, I've got a picture on my wall. I wake up every morning and I look at Matt Dunning.
Casey Dunning, he played a season. No, he played one game for the London Irish.
Oh, good for him. Again... Premiership debut.
No points. This hasn't been updated for quite some... Well, like Casey now is 41, so...
I didn't know need to update that, is there?
Probably not going to be.
Maybe he's like captain coaching some team in southern Portugal or somewhere like that.
I think in true rugby style, he'd be a customer relations kind of manager at the National Australia Bank where, you know, gets wheeled out for corporate lunches and meetings and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah. And just gets confused for his brother probably quite a lot.
Matthew? No. Although this is interesting. On Matt Dunning, I bet that Casey's done this. So on Matt Dunning's Wikipedia, it says that Matt Dunning is 5 foot 11 and a half inches tall and Casey's a flat 6 foot.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
And they've put Matt Dunning's weight at 119. That's
pretty big for a bloke. Under 6 foot.
That's pretty big for a bloke.
That's a lot of...
Under 6 foot. And I think that's Casey's doing.
Yeah, that's cheeky on the Wikipedia.
You can't be playing a game of football at 120. I mean, I don't
care. Junior Paulo's like 128 and he is a man mountain.
And Casey is a centimetre taller, but he is a more svelte 114 kilos. There you go.
The Darting Boys.
More trivia. Actually, I think we should do a podcast on just little strange little tidbits about rugby.
Yeah, imagine feeding the Darting Boys for a week. That would be... So, not now, actually. Matt is... Matt's transformed his body. He's like a triathlete.
Here's another one. So, the match against Namibia, where Australia won 142 points. I think it says here... I don't think this is right. You can write into the show if this is wrong, but he was the only person who didn't score a point.
Really? Yeah. So, like, the whole... Yeah, I wonder if that was starting team or the whole 23.
I think it would have to be the starting
23,
but I think, you know, they were passing balls around by the end of it to
giving it around.
Who hasn't scored? And then they were keeping it away from Dunning.
Yeah, and Matt's like sprinting up like, yes, screaming for it. It's like, nah, yeah, sorry, Matt.
It's like, but even though, like, the poor team, you know, they're just a bunch of Namibian farmers who speak German at home. like they've got no place in playing the Wallabies at top flight at the Adelaide Oval, being picked up and dropped on their head in front of blind drunk South Australians who don't even know the rules.
Yeah, you know what I reckon would have happened when he was sprinting up for the ball? I reckon they would have like thrown it at his knees. Like they would have thrown a pass and then just given him shit for dropping it. Like just thrown an uncatchable pass or just something like over his head that just goes through his hands. Someone just scoops it up. That would have been good.
Yeah.
Just quickly though, to round out the show, I do like the tidbits and I reckon we'll keep that rolling. But World Rugby are apparently looking at having World Cups every 2 years instead of 4 years. Stupid, isn't it?
Stupid.
Yeah. Okay.
We're
on the same page.
I mean, if they want to do something of that ilk, I mean, they've already got the bloody Lions. I mean, let's just do, you know, the Lions is their best team and we have one that's made up of Springboks, Wallabies and All Blacks.
That would be, I reckon, we would put 40 on them. Let's make it happen.
Let's do the experiment. Yeah,
because you can have too much of a good thing and you start losing the novelty. When a World Cup's every 2 years, do you get up for it just the same? You know, it's like, oh, well, we lost this World Cup. We got another one in 2 years' time. You need to feel the pain.
Like, if you do that every 4 years, I mean, it gives everyone an opportunity to see their hemisphere in combat. Mm. I mean, a European rugby team would be better than the Lions.
Yes. Oh, for sure, because you get French guys in there.
Yeah.
You get some French guys who can play some attacking football. Yeah.
Get some Romanians. Yeah. You know, just.
Oh, yes.
I like that. It would be a fair contest.
Yeah. The only good thing about having World Cups every 2 years, we would have a slightly better chance of winning the Bledisloe because during World Cup years, the Kiwis don't seem to care as much about playing us. They kind of play like B-string team sometimes, so maybe we'd be a better chance of getting.
Well, they would do that, but you know, if we do win the first game, the Kiwis would be like, right,
let's drop them in.
Time to tighten the screws. Let's get the Blues Brothers back together.
Yeah, true. You know? So it probably wouldn't work out anyway. No. So let's hope World Rugby comes to their senses and they say no to that.
Yeah, look, it's a nonsense decision, and I hope that Sansa, you know, shows pull some rank. Spine and says, yeah, sure, you can have it as long as it's just Europe versus America.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, and
the Japanese.
Yeah, and we'll let Uruguay and Los Condores come and play as well, get their reps up.
I like them.
Yeah, they're great teams. They're good to watch.
We've got more in common with Argentinians than we do Poms. Mm. I mean, Poms are, you know, they're strange people.
Yeah.
But look, the All Blacks and the Poms can go off and play in their own comp and we'll just, you know, the rest of us can get on with playing some interesting and novel, creative
We'll
rugby.
Play with the exciting guys. Yeah, the creative guys from South America. Happy to do that. So, let's make it happen. Yeah, let's make it happen. Yeah, we'll see.
Northern Hemisphere versus Southern Hemisphere. So they can have, you know, a pick from, you know, the lion's share, you know, mind the pun, of rugby teams from, you know, the Cherry Blossoms to the Eagles to the Canadians, the Poms, the Irish. Actually, well, the Irish can come down and play with us because, you know, I almost feel like they get held hostage. And maybe the Scots too, they can come down.
They have the same disdain.
Yeah. Mm. And maybe the Welsh too, actually. I wouldn't mind them
just
coming
England.
Down there.
It's just England.
No, just England, you know, the French who have upset this week by telling them that we don't want their, you know,
$90 billion submarines.
Their subs anymore.
Yeah, we can't go there anyway.
That's about it. I mean, you know.
But anyway, we'll just have to wait and see what happens, Errol. And we'll be back again next week after another famous win.
We'll be back again next week after the Argentinians dismantle the Kiwis. Yep. After they show us how it's done.
Yes. Please.
I would like to know the secrets.
That would be the only thing that would make a perfect win against the Springboks in Brisbane any better is the Loth Pumas beating the All Blacks. That would just be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Heaven. Anyway, so fingers crossed. Hope that can happen. Enjoy your footy wherever you're watching it and might see you in Brisbane.
As long as you're watching it on Stan. Stan is the superior place to watch rugby, unless you're trying to watch the American and Canadian games, then I guess you got to go onto Rugby Pass or get a VPN and go through some.
Stay Stan, everybody. Bye bye.